a page in history. Peering into yesterday, Keene's wrinkled, sun-bronzed cheeks framed a proud smile, his eyes moist as he looked, breathed, heard, was in the past. His daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter were elsewhere on the decommissioned vessel, now a stately museum. They had flown him here for his birthday, and he had wanted this moment alone with his old vessel, with the memory of the day astronaut Scott Carpenter, the fourth American in space, was recovered from the sea following his orbital flight. Keene had not spotted the three parachutes of the Aurora 7 bringing the capsule down. The space traveler had been off target, too distant to see. But the seaman would never forget the black, red-nosed chopper soaring in and settling down among them. The beaming Voyager hopping out as if he hadn't just spent hours in a weightless state. The entire crew applauding him, and the nation. Our nation cheering their latest hero. And he would never forget the late Scott Carpenter, who after his career in space, made it his life's mission to explore the sea. 57 years later, the vessel was once again under Keene's feet. The shadows were vivid in his mind's eye, and the lump was still thick in his throat. My God, Keene thought, his chin quaking a little, his breath tremulous as he relived that singular moment. Not just a moment in his life, but a moment in the life of America. What we had been, he said to himself, a new frontier, a visionary young president, a prosperous nation at peace. He was privileged to have been a part of it, present for the recovery of an American who was just back from outer space. Keene was no longer in the Navy 3 years later when the Intrepid recovered Gus Grissom and John Young of Gemini 3. But he saw it on television and knew what every man on board was experiencing. Keene still felt humbled, as he had then, just to be a cog in that grand effort, standing there with Petty Officer Second Class Dick Tallman, as Commander Carpenter was deposited on the flight deck, this flight deck, right where Keene was standing now. Time, age, life, everything seemed to evaporate. He was youthful again, his wife alive, his daughter just a baby, the future long and deep and rich. Where had it gone? Keene wondered. Not just a lifetime, but that powerful, uplifting sense of unity he had felt with every man on board this very ship. Slowly, reluctantly, the Groton, Connecticut resident returned to the present. The landscape of the intervening years returned. Here and now, the choppers he heard were regular traffic along the Hudson River. The voices were not fellow seamen, but tourists. The flight deck, well, it was not rolling and pitching and slippery with the sea, but anchored emphatically in a river that seemed better suited to pleasure boats and water taxis than to an 872-foot-long, 27,100-ton juggernaut. His sagging shirt pocket chirped. Keene fished out his cell phone, held it at arm's length so he could read the message. It was a text from his daughter. "You doing okay?" He thumbed the microphone icon. He spoke in a quiet voice, mindful that there were others around him enjoying their own thoughts and emotions. He said softly, "Fine. Be there in a minute. Love, Pop." Susan, her husband Jason, and their youngest daughter Lisa were waiting for him in the space shuttle pavilion. He had wanted to rekindle his personal connection with history before enriching it. Keene poked send. Then, proud of his sudden inspiration, used the phone to take a picture of his feet on the deck. That was something he would want to look at again when he was back in his home, on his terrace overlooking the Long Island Sound. This vessel had taught him discipline, which added to his inborn love of the sea, served him well in his career as a boatyard worker, operating hydraulic trailers, lifts, learning maintenance, and finally, managing a marina. Well, he thought with an inner sigh, every man on board that day made his own journey. I thank God for the many joys in mine.